session number 11213, Reel 8.
Before we went up to
Mr. Lamb, Reel 8. You arrived at Egypt, Mr. Lamb. What duties was the battalion given on its arrival?
Well, when we arrived at Egypt, we arrived at Esmalaya and Muaska, and the battalion was split up in various areas. There was some stationed at Port Said, some at Muaska and some at Esmalaya. I was at Muaska myself, and I got the job as company storeman there, looking after various kit and that, and another chap to assist me. But that didn't affect me any training duties, because all I had to do when there's any training duties to do, I just lock up and then go out, get ready. And for instance, one of the first things we do, we had to get acclimatised to the desert and get properly broke in, whatnot, the conditions, because conditions were different altogether to what they were in China. Now, with me being in Khartoum previously, we'd had a taste of this desert like, but there was a lot of chaps there, the first battalion men which had joined when they came out, they hadn't had any taste of this. So we have more or less a little bit of experience to desert conditions through being in Khartoum.
So what kind of things were you doing to get acclimatised to the desert?
Well, first things we used to do was, one of the things that did happen was a 50-mile route march with packs and everything. You only had a water bottle full of water, and it was a forced march, and we marched from Esmalaya right to Port Said and across the canal. And it must have been approximately 50 miles. And anyone that broke out, that fell out, any sergeants that fell out were reduced to corporal. Any corporals that fell out were reduced to lance corporal. And I myself was Lance Corporal. Lance Corporals were absolutely used to acting Lance Corporal, something like that. And anyway, we set off, and just about 5 minutes break here and there on the way. And we reached Port Said and crossed the other side of the canal. And then when we got to the other side of the canal, we had to make about a 500 dashes, so we were making a charge for enemy positions. By gosh, when we got there, we were absolutely shattered. I myself had blisters on my feet, and there was quite a few fell out, one or two fell out on the way, en route. And there was just a wagon, one of the trucks full of them, picking them up that fell out, you know, and carry on. We had this dash. By the way, on en route, that was the only time when we stopped for about 3 minutes. That was the only time we allowed to touch our water. By the time we reached Port Said, there was nothing left.
Did you stop for a certain amount of time each hour?
Yes, practically every 3 miles or something like that, or maybe more. Maybe more times, can't tell. But it was a fairly good pace all the way, and you had to keep going.
So when you'd finished that kind of training, you were then given duties within the canal zone?
Yes, we were given various duties in the canal zone. I know one of the duties I did, and various other men, various companies got various jobs to do. There would be one duty company stationed at Alcantara, which they took their turns like, which was the waterworks for the area, P purifying the water works, etc. And I myself was on duty there once. Used to get relieved now and again and let someone take over. Then we also, Italy was then at war with Ethiopia, Haile Selassie. And the boats used to come through the canal, from Italy to there, through the to the canal. And there was certain sections of us used to go on them boats to escort them through. And of course, one of the main duties was to make sure they didn't pull the plug downstairs and block the canal, because that's what they were afraid of. So anyway, that was another one. And there was another duty I did. I escorted a trainload of tanks from Portsair area, right up the desert. I'm not sure what the tank place was up there, but it was this side of Cairo somewhere, where these tanks had to go to. And I was, we were on the road about 4 or 5 days.
Was this by road or by train?
By train, tanks, on tank wagons.
Any idea what kind of tanks they were?
No, I've no idea. I think there would be the Matildas and whatnot, likes of that. I presume that's what they were, the tanks first. As a matter of fact, I think they were the, some of the first tanks out there that came out before the war started. This is before the war started. Actually, before the Italians came in. And that would be the tanks that were Matildas and Valentines. I think that was the two type of tanks that were there at the time. And they would be the first tanks there to go up.
But when did you move up to the desert yourself?
Well, after we'd getting broke in and all this and the other, we got word that we were moving up to Merzimachu. So we travelled up to Merzimachu by convoy. Our three tunners, Bedford three tunners, we served, etc. And we relieved Egyptian troops that was manning them. And there was one or two pillboxes, well, what you have in England, what you had in England at the same time. Not many of that. And then we had to start and prepare the place for defensive positions.
What kind of positions did you
we used to have to dig anti-tank traps.
What kind of things were these? Well, what kind of thing was an anti-tank trap?
A long ditches, big deep ditches at certain places, certain areas across. Anti-tank traps. And then we had slit trenches to make, and then we had to lay minefields. Now that was one of the jobs I got, because I was Lance Corporal, and I was Lance Corporal, and the job I got was to man the mines, make the mines live.
And how did you do that?
You had to, the lads used to dig the round hole, and this mine was about, say, a foot in circumference, black thing, and you unscrewed the thing at the bottom of the thing, and you put this glass tube in. That was a detonator. And you put it in and screwed it big shot. And once that was in, it was live. And then I had to do that. The lads would make the hole, and they would bring it. The mine was laying next to they put the mines next to the hole, like, and then I had to do that, make the mines live. Then the lads would cover them, but I'd say, might be careful how we cover them and dig these up. Because the least pressure you put on them, you'd be blown out sky high.
Was there any accidents?
Oh, yes, it was one I'll never forget. That was one of my tastes. The first taste of actually war. Because the engineers used to bring the mines and detonators up to us by truck, by 3 ton Bedford, like. And I was just standing, I see the truck come in, and we're watching, we're just about approximately 500 yards from us, where the truck stopped. And there was a ginger-haired lad, I'll never forget this, my first date. The detonators were in small cardboard boxes. And there was about 50 detonators in there. And there was a lot of sabotage going on out there at the time. Anyway, there must have been a leak somewhere, because once the egg, at least air got at that, once that air got at that detonator, it was off. The least thing. Well, I stood watching this, he was a, I'll never forget this, ginger-haired chap. And he was handing this box to one of our men down below. Also handing mine at the same time, various men. And this box went off, bah. There was just one flash, bang. I don't know how the truck escaped, but the truck was all right. But by gosh, this chap was blown to bits. And quite a few more around him were injured by the blast. But this chap had had a box. There was nothing left him. That was my first experience.
Did you have any interference from the Italians, because they were now in the war?
No, we hadn't had no contact with them in the meantime while we were doing all this. But what did happen, various times, when of course the Italians hadn't actually declared war up to this time, we were just getting prepared for it, you understand? We were getting prepared for coming into the war, because we knew they'd come in, that's what we're there for. And they were just, this was Mersma too, and they would be, say, at the next place up, yeah, that book, I'll name the place, a place on the coast.
Sidibarani?
Sidibarani or somewhere like that. They would be approximately up there. There would be around 50-odd miles separating us. And that was no man's land. So then the war did break up. Meanwhile, there was lots of things happening. We were on patrol, and there would be patrols going out, checking things and all this, and you know, and you know, what things. And then the war did break out. And then what did happen then? They started with the Savoy bombers first. I'm telling Savoy bombers. And they secured 20 and 30 Savoy bombers coming over at once, all together. As far as our Air Force was concerned, we had them. We had a Lysander for a spanner place. And I think we had a couple of Hurricanes. I'm not sure, that's all we had. And what we had done, what we did, while we were there, we made imitation airfields ourselves with Forbes. Ticked out like airplanes, looking from the air like dummy airplanes, likes of that. And as a matter of fact, anyway, these Savoy bombers come over, and bombing certain areas, and there was once they came over, and this was more than any action the Wavell campaign started. We're just getting prepared. And we used to have to go down to the only place we could get a wash was to go down to Seafront, which was about roughly a couple of miles away. They go down by a truck. And this was known as Hellfire Corner when this bombing had not started, because it was on the road and the buildings was down there and whatnot. And there was a mosque there. Tall mosque, and there was a door at the bottom where you could go inside. Now, there's quite a lot of the chaps there know about this. There was four of our chaps in this mosque playing mahjong, which had brought from China with them, set of mahjong. And the bombers came over, and a bomb dropped outside the door. And when I would check them, all the four chaps were just sitting as though there was nothing the matter with them. They were all killed by the blast. There wasn't a mark on them. But I'd never seen this myself, but it's what I was told. There wasn't a mark on them, just killed by blast. The four of them, just sitting as though normal as anything. And one of the chaps was called McPartland. He was a pal of mine. And his brother was there as well. He's only had his own brother in the same company. Two McPartland, two brothers.
Were any bombs dropped on or near you?
Oh, definitely.
What did it feel like to be bombed?
Well, I'll give you an experience. This was my first experience of bombing. Now, they used to take turns, you know. Say about a platoon. Right, your platoon, Lamb, and some more. Down for a swim today in the... Oh, look at that. And every time you went down there, it was time the bomber used to come, and then them planes what they had, the Stukas, come over, machine gun the sea, all this together. Now, there's one day we went down, and this is the God's honest truth. Another thing I'll never forget. We went down and we were going along the road, and there was an Italian, the 4th Indian Dave was there with us, and one of their jeeps just passed us on the way, coming the opposite way. Just when we got to the place where we had to go in for a swim, the bombing started. They came over and the bombing started. We rushed through into slit trenches that was there, and the bombs, the hut, about 50 yards from me, was blown to bits. I was in slit trench, wall down, and I felt a blast up my back. Because you just had shot on. And I said, is my back all right? You felt the red hot blast up my back. And anyway, the mum and dad, we still had to go in and get a swim after that. You're still here, get in. And when we came back, we passed this Indian truck and had been blown, it had caught in a bomb blast and been blown to bits. A bomb that was passed, say, 20 inch force. That was our first experience of warfare.
And was it a frightening experience?
It was. By gosh, your first taste.
Did any of the men react badly
to
that?
There was some crying in the slit trenches.
Some men burst into tears.
Yeah. By God, that was my first experience of war. And we hadn't even started a campaign yet. We were preparing for it.
So you were a Lance Corporal at this time.
Yes.
What was your platoon number? Do you recall?
No, it was A Company, and I'm afraid I can't. You had number 1, 2, 3, 4 platoons. Of course, you had your section as well.
What were your duties as a Lance Corporal in a platoon?
Well, I had about, 8 or 10, a section under me, 8 or 10 men. Because you had your company sergeant and sergeant major, and you had your corporals, and I was in charge of a section, say about 10 men, sections.
And did you do any, other than just dig defences, did you do any training for desert warfare?
Oh yes, before this had started, as a matter of fact, we first went up to Bertram too. We used to go running in the desert for approximately 3 miles. Running, now, of course, I was always running across country and I was used to that. I was a non-smoker at the time, and I used to always run when we were in China. I used to always run for the battalion, for the company, and play football for the company. And when we went in the desert and... we used to go on these Streamer, you know, come on, get us out right. We'll go for a run of the back and you start to go.
And what kind of company and platoon training did you do?
You did no training at all as a battalion. You were finished as a battalion. You were more or less finished as a company. Because you were spread out all over the place. And the only men you were in contact with was more or less your section. You might be part of a company sometime, but you were spread out all over the place.
And was it your responsibility to look after your section?
Oh, yes, sir.
And that included what?
Well, same, keeping them in order and all this together, and, you know, doing the job. Also, there was quite a few of them. They were more so with me having a lot of more service than them in, because they had just come out from England. Real well, I'd been in the Indian too, and had a bit more service in than them, and of course, I used to try and push them in a bit, and, you know, try and keep them busy and not, you know, do the job that I was taught to do.
You didn't?
The discipline.
Did you do any training with the tanks?
None whatever, we never seen any. The only tanks we seen when the Wavell campaign started, we never seen any tanks. As a matter of fact, all we had, now when we first went to the desert, we had Lewis guns.
You still had Lewis guns?
And, with a pan on the top, which is used in India. And the Ben gun carriers had just come out then. And we had the Ben gun carriers, and we had the 2-pounder guns, very few, here and there. As a matter of fact, it was only what they call the gunners that used to help them. You had your gunners, and you had your machine gun company like the gunners. But as far as machine guns concerned, I never seen them. Oh, because the gun was, as far as I was concerned, was a Bren gun. The same as what the Bren gun carry was mounted with. That's all they had. Bren carries.
When did you move up into the desert to take part in your first action? Do you recall?
Well, we were all ready. That was the front line, man, number two, as far as we were concerned. And then, as far as I can remember, the Italians had moved up in force and all that, and we knew that they were going to make a push, and it was either them coming first or us going first, as far as I can understand. Well, I don't know when it happened, but the word came around that we were going to make an attack. Wavell, the first campaign that took place. And, by the way, we had a General O'Connor and another one, and he was captured. General O'Connor was captured, and there was another one captured. I'm not sure who it was. And we also had we had the 4th Indian Dave. There was the Guards Brigade, which was us. I think we had a Polish Brigade. And we were supposed to have some Royal Artillery, but I never seen it.
So where was your first action?
Hmm?
Where was your first action?
First action was the Wavell campaign.
Did you recall?
Well, dear me, it was a piece of cake. I was surprised. Well, we made the attack. It was Bloody Standstone made the racket. And we got round behind the Italians. Got round behind them. And that was it. As soon as they knew about them, all of them, they just packed it.
You did take a lot of prisoners?
Oh, thousands.
And what did you think of the Italians?
They were just a load of rubble. Well, you must understand that there were just Italians there. There might have been, there was a few German, what they call, advisors and whatnot, like, you know. There was a few.
But what date was this, Mr. Lamb? Have you any idea?
But?
But what date did this take place?
It'd be around about... the back end of 1940, because I remember after it happened, when it was all over, I was given a job. I can remember Christmas Day 1940, and I was given a job to go up to an Italian dump, what they call, they're called beef dumps, and that, and food dumps, and for corn, to bring a load of corned beef, not from this dump.
Do you have any memory of
that? Was Christmas Day.
Do you have any memory of that very first time that you actually went into action against the Italians?
Well, it was such a blooming muck up, I don't know. I can't remember anything. It seemed as though we just went in round and up. How was that concerned?
So after that...
Then we carried on. And I don't know how far it was we got, but I don't think we got as far as Benghazi, but we got as far as Benghazi. Of course, I was looking after the prisoners, marching back and whatnot, in the cages, looking after the cages. I remember being sent up to one of the dumps in Bungook to get a load of the corned beef for food for them. And that was Christmas Day. And that was 1940. I'm not sure it was.
Yes, then Rommel.
Meanwhile, the troops were going on, but we had. There was only. God bless me. There was only about 30,000 of us, that's all. We were known as the way it was 30,000. Of course, maybe being another few thousand rear troops like, but I thought we know that. And as a matter of fact, I've heard it said now by various top officers that was out there, that they wanted to go straight on to Tripoli. But of course, that would have meant extending our lines a hell of a lot. What we had, that, I could understand that, but we still wanted to do it. But Churchill said no. He said, that's Benghazi, that's as far as you go. You're stopping there.
So after seeing...
Indeed, half the troops were Greece.
After seeing the prisoners of war back, you were taking prisoners and that back, the Germans came into it then, didn't they?
Oh, that was after... Well, quite a while after that, before the Germans came in, because yes, after the Wavell campaign, probably about 5 or 6 months after that, Germans came in. They weren't in a full strength like, but there was quite enough few of them, and the Italians had been reinforced, and they started pushing us back.
Was this when you had your action at Capuzzo?
No, this was the first one was Hellfire Pass. My first action, when we were being pushed back after the Wavell campaign, was Hellfire Pass. Because I remember I was in Hellfire Pass, we had to be pushed back, and I was in Hellfire Pass, and the Scots Guards was there, which was a later thing. Just talking about that, like Capuzzo, which I'll mention later on. But we were in Hellfire Pass, the Scots Guards were in reserve, and the other guards were attacking Capuzzo, Capuzzo area, and we were being pushed back, mind, at the time. Now, I had my section here. At the top of the escarpment, halfway up the escarpment, there was just one way up. You couldn't get in Tuxham. The only way you could get up was you had to go around by road to get onto the forward positions above halfway up. Like a escarpment, you could only go by road, like a ravine and all that, you know. So we were now positioned on top of this halfway pass. My section's here. And there was another section on my right. Corporal Hanlon, he was in charge of that. Section on the left was spread right out. Now, we seen them coming, the high challenge coming. And I said, right. And there quite a few of them. And I spotted this gun being come behind the jeep. There's a Sanger. I could see a Sanger about, say 1,000 yards away, a Sanger. But I spotted this gun, swing around, and it started firing, but it started firing at the position on the right. Now, the position on the right, he had big boulders up. Now, I said to my section, and I said, you're not having what, before this started, I said, you're not having that. I said, you're just having enough to cover your heads. I said, they'll spot that straight away. Anyway, it did. The gun got them. As far as I can understand, Corporal Andy was severely injured and lost quite a few men. Meanwhile, and then they switched to us.